coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, the 28th day of May 2024, just off of a Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully, folks, you caught either audio or video, caught the Memorial Day special in studio with Luke from shatterops.org, explaining in part 70 plus arrest warrants in a Nashville operation, Nashville-esque, near Nashville, I should say, Tennessee operation, along with Vets for Child Rescue. They were the point team on this. Shatter Ops, of course, being support, acting in a supportive role. But Craig Sawyer, make no mistake, Craig Sawyer led the charge that resulted in an immediate 70 plus, and I say plus because this is still ongoing. Okay, the arrest warrants are still being processed. This from the operation that was recently held again outside of Nashville, and by the numbers, when you look at the numbers of people of children who are in the crosshairs of these perverted people, these perverts who are chatting online with ostensibly 12 and 13-year-old girls and boys and people that could be your children and grandchildren. The operation, and I'm glad that we were able to be part, intrinsically part of the support of the operation as well, which is why I always say, look, I'm an investigator with a microphone. We do a lot more than just talk. We act. And but if you didn't catch yesterday's show, please do, yesterday's show, Memorial Day show, please do that. Listen to what Luke has got to say. The experience, too, when you are involved in that abyss of evil is absolutely eye-opening, awakening, and just incredible. So I do hope you catch that yesterday. Go to HagmanPI.com, click on the Memorial Day episode, the special report. And then, of course, please, and I want to thank you for your support of this platform that allows us to both fund and operate in that venue. Because we are not just, again, not just a mouthpiece, but we're part of that saving the children. But some nearly 5,000 children, based on the numbers of arrest warrants, were saved from potential exploitation and abuse. That's impressive. In one operation. Now, there are as I lay out the show today, I just want to tell you, there are dots that connect that, again, seemingly disparate things that shouldn't really connect, but they do. Whether it is the WHO, their push for this taking over countries' sovereignty, whether it is the head of the European Union, that evil witch over there, pushing for WHO sovereignty to the WHO, to the war criminal Tedros, the head of the WHO, and of course how that really relates to even the child and human trafficking. And of course, a portion of that trafficking is a result of the border policies. And I say policies, not lack of policies, but policies of the Biden, well, Obama/Biden regime. This is all connected. the takedown, the attempted takedown, even today, of the United States of America as a nation, especially attacking the border, is a big part of this. Now, in addition to that, you also have the emergence, the creation and emergence of this novel bird flu, H5N1, but it's tweaked. And you might think, well, what does that have to do with what you're talking about? Well, again, the methods, the modalities of control are looking are being pushed in that direction. So that's just a method or a modality to control the populace through. Okay, we have a rogue virus that we created, kind of like COVID-19, but on top of COVID-19, which they're still looking for the body counts from the injections, okay? And they're still coming in. It's incredible. The numbers are incredible and undeniable. But let's make this worse. Let's push injections first into livestock and then into people of the potential mRNA jabs into people. Again, all by the dictates of the World Health Organization. So you've got a number of things going on here. Then, of course, and I like Steve Bannon's comment that, you know, there are weeks in which decades happen. And I do believe that we're in that week. And last week was part of that week. Okay. I want you to really think about this and think about where we're headed in the run up to the election. Now, I'm just going to point this right out. Having commemorated, not celebrated, because I don't like that. Celebrate Memorial Day? No. You don't, just as one wouldn't celebrate 9/11, you would commemorate it. So I hope that people understand that, you know, I hope people realize why there was an extra day off for many institutions and businesses yesterday to commemorate those who lost their lives. Unlike Ilhan Omar and Cori Bush, who really couldn't they don't understand what Memorial Day was all about. Cori Bush and Ilhan Omar mixing up Veterans Day and Memorial Day. I guess they didn't pay attention to American civics. Oh, wait, is Ilhan Omar an American? Let me think. This is why that we have to take back control of our own government. And how do we do that? Well, it's from we the people, from the ground up, from the local to federal. You know, people, and I get emails and comments all the time. Well, Trump is a part of this, and Trump is a part of the New World Order. Trump is he's not what he seems to be. Well, when you compare Donald Trump to Joseph Biden, I'm being honest with all of you who send me these emails or comment on Rumble, which I encourage. I don't censor them unless they're absolutely threatening or vulgar beyond, you know, I just can't have it. If you're intellectually honest, who would you rather have leading this country? If we are given two choices. Wait, let me expand it. Let me expand it to three. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who never met a climate program he didn't like, who never met a Second Amendment supporter he didn't hate, the guy is spot on about if he stayed in his lane of the medical tyranny, then great. But you can't have a national leader who just has one lane of thought, one lane of interest. So he's really not a legitimate candidate insofar as his policies are certainly not at least in my view, not consistent with what America is all about. So if you, so, but I'll be charitable. I'll throw him in here. If you are looking for a national leader in Donald Trump or Joseph Biden or his replacement, because I don't believe he's going to be last beyond the the convention. And by the way, I find it very hilarious. The Democratic National Convention is after the Ohio ballot printing stuff and, you know, Joseph Biden. If they would keep to the current rules or the rules as they were last week, the name Joseph Biden would not appear on Ohio ballots for the federal election in 2024. Did you know that? Well, it wouldn't. So DeWine calls a special session of Congress, of state Congress, and they should just tell them to F off because, yeah, we're not doing that. You know, if they can't get their crap together, if the left can't get their crap together, so what? What would the left do in that case? DeWine? Anyway, I digress. If you didn't hear about that, you can research it on your own. But getting back to the program today, let me shift my chair here a little bit. There we go. Now I feel better. I'm back in the cockpit here. I said cockpit. Eric the Tech, I said cockpit. How you doing, my brother?
Doing good.
My brother. I say my brother. He you know, I got to tell you, he's my son-in-law, and he's the, I don't know, what are you? I mean, you're the program, I mean, you're everything. You're the engineer, you're the, what's your title?
Everything.
Everything.
All of the above.
All the, you know, it's almost like having really a dear friend in
addition. Except host.
Well, you know, we got to change that because
no, we don't.
Man, I've been getting all sorts of messages. Hey, can we see him? Can he come on? Can he, you know? And I'm telling you, you got a lot of people out there wanting you to be part of this. I'm just saying, you've got this ever since the skin flute remark. You've elevated to like celebrity status. He's over there laughing. If you don't know what we're talking about, you know, you're not black. And Joe Biden. If you don't vote for me, then you're not black. What do you think of Joe Biden? Getting back to what I was saying. So anyway, getting back to as well, there are weeks in which decades happen. Again, I believe that to be the case in these 2 weeks. So, but a sobering reminder here. I was looking for something earlier, a pre-show, and you know, if there was any episode that I'm not ready for, it's today. All right, if you would have had the weekend I had, and the Monday. Eric the Tech, knowing what you know about what has happened over the last 96 hours, I mean, do you feel bad for me? No, never mind. Do you understand why I don't have like my act together today?
Yes.
Yeah. You tried to do too many things. You tried to be in too many places. You tried to help too many people. You tried to, and it's just sometimes you just hit a brick wall. Anyway. But let's kick off today because sobering stuff going on. You've got right now China. China rattling its saber against Taiwan. You got a real bad situation with China and Taiwan that could explode any moment in the international realm. You've got the weakest man in the White House since Wilson, probably when his wife was running things during Wilson's illness, stroke, whatever. And that's charitable because I think it's even worse having this mind, this individual who has mush for brains. And you know what? I almost feel bad for the guy. I almost do. But I don't. I could almost have some empathy for Biden. Almost. But I don't. Because that power-hungry SOB and his equally power-hungry bee of a wife, okay, along with Obama, you realize that 90% of Biden's staff is Obama, or they're Obama's people, right? You know that. But I was looking for something before the show, and I couldn't find it. I've got like 5 books out, and I read it in one of the books about the Afghanistan withdrawal. Okay, where the weakness really, if you look from a 30,000-foot view level, okay, and you look at Biden and you look at Obama kind of being the puppet master of Biden and all the people around him. But then you look at the world stage. When did really things, when did like Kim Jong-un or Xi from China or, you know, insert name of despot here, when did they wake up and say, wait a second, the U.S., it's a paper tiger? I believe I could trace that back to the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. And we did play a couple of, I don't know, several segments ago, testimony of one of the soldiers killed at the airport in Afghanistan that when his body was brought back, Biden kept looking at his watch and such. And it was a father, Gold Star father of a fallen military person, and it was heart-wrenching. But I would trace back in the shorter term of things. Now, this can go back further, but in the shorter part of things, I would trace that back to Afghanistan. When we left billions of dollars of equipment for our enemy, when we gave Bagram to China, of all things. And you may say, well, wait a second, wasn't this Trump's doing? No. That's why I believe it was in Kash Patel's book, Government Gangsters, that he described the internal workings of President Trump's Afghanistan withdrawal. And it did not include, I mean, there was no giveaways of equipment. There was no leaving the equipment there. There was no abandonment of Bagram, in the middle of the night, leaving our allies to just say, hey, what happened? How come the lights are out? Or leaving Americans behind. But I believe in the larger sense, that could very well be the point in which we're seeing all events happen today, even today, right now. If you look at the headlines, okay, you're seeing the Biden regime pressing UK and France not to confront Iran over their nuclear program. And you can read these stories on your own. I'm just giving you the overview. You're also seeing, the China-Taiwan situation about ready to pop. You can also look at the, of course, then you have the woke part of the military, the implementation of the woke military stuff taking place. And then you have NATO. And this is absolutely crazy. NATO and Russia at loggerheads, basically. And Russia saying, look, you bring Western weaponry into Ukraine and fire it into Russia, hit Russian targets, the gloves are off. We will attack the UK. We will attack France. We will kill the military component of NATO troops, even if they include U.S. troops and French and whatever. We will strike them. Okay, that's the way it is. And yet you've got these warmongers in the U.S. and in the European Union just pushing for all of this. But this is a direct result of the weakness of the Biden. Well, the weakness, the perceived weakness of Biden run by the war machine of Obama. Now, I think people really need to understand the larger picture. And you know what? This is something to, in the free time I had conversations with people about the number of people who have podcasts and programs and such and have differing ideas about things, you know, about, and what I try to do is I try to grab as many shows as I can. I'm always listening and watching the news, the various pundits on the left and as well, I mean, on the right as well as on the left. I want to hear what they're saying, whether it's a small podcast or a huge broadcast, cable broadcast. But again, I can trace everything back to the Afghanistan debacle and who really initiated the policies and procedures for the manner in which this was done. It was not Trump at all. It was 100% Obama, Newland, Samantha Power, the DOD, and others within that Obama orbit that really did this and gave our enemies the green light to, gave Russia, I believe, the green light to strike in Ukraine. It gave China the idea that, hey, you know what? The U.S. is not going to get involved in a China-Taiwan takeover. And by the way, Taiwan was never, ever, 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 ever part of China. Ever. Ever. That, so anyway, this is one China policy. Okay, they have no clue what they're talking about. All right. Well, that was a pretty scattered opening statement. Eric the Tech, did you commemorate solemnly Memorial Day, but yet still have some time with the family? I got to ask.
Yeah,
how was it?
It was good.
Good? All right. I got the opportunity. This is great. I was invited to and was able to go to my grandson's graduation from preschool. Eric's son. One of the cutest things I've ever seen in my life. You know, even with all of these dire headlines, and I bring this up because of this, even with all the dire headlines, you've got to have some level of enjoyment. You really do. Otherwise, you're going to go just absolutely out of your mind. And if you constantly listen to programs like this, you've got to offset that with good stuff. Speaking of good things, now I'm going to touch on this. You know, folks, we've talked about this before. The World Health Organization under Tedros attempting to pass this pandemic treaty of which the U.S. has signed on to or is signing on to, many European countries pledging to do that, but receiving a lot of blowback. For example, I don't know how many people know this. Half of the U.S. governors, half of the U.S. senators, mostly along party lines, by the way, and half of the attorneys general here in the U.S. have signed statements, letters of intent, memorandums of understanding, including nations of Sweden now, coming soon, Israel, yeah, go figure, to fight the global agenda. And because if one country or if a country signs on to this pandemic treaty, it's not just about viruses or plandemics or pandemics. It's not about that. It's about the boycott and divestment and the economic sanctions against the countries who are signatories to this treaty. The WHO can cut off these countries if they don't comply with the amendments and the intricacies of the WHO treaty. So it's more than just about health. It's about the economy, if you look into this. And a good place to do that is sovereigntycoalition.org. Okay, just want to say that. Now, to draw back a little bit and to get hit some of the bigger headlines, shall I say, of this week, both last week wrapping up, this week coming. Let's go to Steve Bannon from today, from this morning. The reason I picked this is because, again, I look at many, many, many podcasts, broadcasts, and people. And what I try to do is take the most relevant, the most impactful, and the most succinct parts and give them to you. As an investigator, if I was presenting a case to an ADA, a county detective, or the district attorney, I would be asked to do the same. In fact, I'm working on, this is something I'll just share with you. I'm working a case of a disappearance of a 13-year-old that took place on October 13th of 1983. That's 41 years ago, folks. 41 years. I've been working that since 2005. I'm telling you right now, we're close to bringing someone remaining alive to justice for that. Go figure. Yay me, right? No, not even close. I'm just a willing participant in the investigation. But in order for me to do that, getting back to the topic, what I try to do is I try to assemble all of these people in parts and then succinctly give you the information so you can make a decision and act upon the information, much like I do with my investigations. But here's Steve Bannon from today. And I'll put the link in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. By the way, we're being shadow banned everywhere. Let me say this too. Not only are we being shadow banned, there is a concerted effort to take this program off the air. And I was talking with a couple of people saying, you know, we're really nothing. Why would people want us gone? Why do people want to see, by the way, why do people want to see me in jail? Which is happening. Why? Are we that, do we make that much of a difference? Apparently. Well, the numbers don't reflect that. The visible numbers on YouTube or whatever, you only have X number. Oh, but it goes deeper than that, because if you knew the real numbers, it would surprise you. How they're able to, look, I don't know how they're able to do it, but they do it. And I'm not saying Rumble does it, not at all. I'm saying there's a throttling of the numbers, but there's also, in an effort, by the way, to say that, hey, we're not relevant, when in fact, I think we kind of are. But anyway, let's go to Steve Bannon from today. This is around the nine and a half minute mark, right around in there. Something happened. Let me set the stage for you here. There's only one thing the left has left to save their grip on power. One thing. Because, why? Because they can't run any campaign on their policies. What have their policies done in the last 3.5 years? inflation is up 25-30%. You know, Biden said, well, when I took office, inflation was 9%. Well, no, and hell no. And of course, many commentators have called him out on that. It was 1.4%. That's what inflation was when he took over. Not 9, 1.4%. Gas prices were at least 60% less than they are today. Grocery prices, the same. Power prices, much less. Are you better off today than you were during the Trump administration? I don't think so. Donald Trump, there were no wars during his 4 years. And I know you've heard this by others, but it's true. And you may blame this on the coronavirus, or you may blame Donald Trump on his handling initially of the coronavirus. I believe, of course, he really didn't handle much of anything, despite him taking credit for some things, but he really didn't handle much of anything. But it was the, it were the, it was, were, what's the correct, anyway, the people around him, the permanent bureaucracy that implemented some of the policies. So there's only one thing left, as I began to say, that the left can do, because they can't run on policy. They can't run on previous record. Hey, you know what? The world's a safer place, like hell it is. In fact, hey, you know what? Crime is down. Well, that's a true statement. Crime, according to statistics, crime is down. But here's the problem. When you don't put the real numbers into the statistics, it can be whatever you want it to be. Crime is not down. Crime is way the hell up. I mean, have you seen, what was that? Some actor got shot. What the heck was that? Carjacked, or somebody was stealing his catalytic converter in Los Angeles. He goes out and he gets shot. This was over the weekend or whatever. He was on one of the soap operas. You know who I'm talking about. I don't. I can't remember his name. But no, crime is way up. 41, by the way, 41 dead in Chicago alone. And these are progressive policies. And oh, by the way, in addition to World War looming down on our heads, and yes, it is, we're already in World War III. The shooting, the bombing, the kinetic part hasn't fully started yet, but it's going to. The domestic unrest, oh, you have not seen anything yet this summer, is going to explode from campuses to cities to city streets. And you know what? To the suburban areas. I'm telling you right now. So get locked and loaded for what's coming. But the only thing the left has is to destroy President Trump. And out of their arsenal, what's the last quiver they have? The only quiver that they have at the moment is to neutralize President Trump. How do you do that? Lawfare. And if that fails, we'll just kill the guy. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. Because Julie Kelly does. She's got just an extremely, I cannot thank Julie Kelly enough. And by the way, Jack Cashel, who I believe is going to be on this week, wrote a great book about January 6th, Ashley Babbitt and the women of January 6th. But it goes well beyond that. It goes talks about the Jacobins and the Jacobin base that is propelling all of this. It's a great book. You got to read it. But hopefully he'll be on one day this week. It may be Friday. I'm not sure. But Julie Kelly has done a remarkable, and Julie Kelly's a friend of Jack Cashel, and she's done a remarkable job I've had the pleasure of being able to, you know, thank her for what she does. But she appeared with Steve Bannon by phone. Last week, the documents case. Now, there's obviously this week you've got New York. You've got Judge Juan Merchan, that piece of garbage, that corrupt, conflicted piece of human sewage, who is the most anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-U.S., anti-Constitution, pro-greed, pro-communist SOB than you'll ever want to ever look into him and his daughter. Look, I have kind of a rule, you know, keep off the, you don't attack families, right? You just, kids and stuff like that. She's not a kid. She's as bad or worse than Merchan. I'm telling you, this is Soviet style tactics. Old Soviet style. This is the North Korean wing of American jurisprudence, which is gone anyway. This is Obama telling Biden to tell Garland, at least in New York, to work with Soros and company and his little players to file the 34 charges in New York against Donald Trump. And please, folks, look, I know that you know the case, 34 counts based on a crime that they cannot even, they have yet to really describe. But don't worry, Merchan says, you don't have to, they're really, we don't even have to describe the crime. This is to the jury. We really don't have to describe the crime. What the hell? And then you got the Florida case, which Julie Kelly's going to be talking about. Judge Eileen Cannon, God bless that woman. She's received, by the way, I don't know if I'm talking out of school or not, but she's received some of the most vile threats to her and her family than, how she doesn't have protection by her own staff of agents, I don't know. But she put, she smacked Jack Smith down so hard, he has to, you know, he can't even see the top of the ground yet, okay, this past Memorial Day weekend. She smacked him down so hard. The case is falling apart. Just as the case in New York is essentially meaningless, it's got no crime behind it. They took a misdemeanor at best, which it wasn't even a misdemeanor because they didn't do anything wrong. Donald Trump didn't do anything wrong. Put a serial perjurer by the name of Michael Cohen and a current porn star whose story changes more than Eric the Tech's underwear on the stand as their star witnesses. And somehow ginned up 34 counts of, I'm not even sure what. But in Florida, oh, much different. And of course, this involves the documents. And this, of course, involves the Mar-a-Lago raid on August 8th of 2022. You know, another thing, but by the way, Julie Kelly does not agree with Steve Bannon on the assassination attempt. Remember, Donald Trump and his family were not at Mar-a-Lago at the time, but had somebody returned, oh, it could have been bad. Because this is blue on blue. This is blue on blue, blue against blue, FBI v. Secret Service. There could have been bloodshed because the Secret Service turned up incognito. They were even told to leave their badges at home. Bring your guns, leave the badges. You know, kind of like leave the gun, take the cannoli. The Godfather reference should be evident there. But let's go to Steve Bannon talking with Julie Kelly in this clip today. Go ahead.
I think the only error they've got left is to try to imprison President Trump. Okay, we got the polling with Rasmussen. We're going to go to Texas. Huge day today on the runoff elections. We're going to go to Geneva. Good news, World Health Organization pandemic treaty not happening, at least now. We are packed wall to wall here in the war room. Let's start with Julie Kelly. Julie, you kind of started this all off, the firestorm. 10 o'clock on Friday night, Jack Smith filed and included not just exhibits from President Trump, but exhibits with yours truly, Stephen K. Bannon, and the smiling visage of Mike Davis, as we were saying mean things about Biden and the FBI and DOJ, and he was whining and crying and wanted to stop it. President Trump just came back. Tell us, where do we stand on the gag order? They're trying to shut down President Trump in every way possible. Put him in prison this week, gag him this week. Where are we?
So this late night, Friday night, holiday weekend motion to modify Donald Trump's release conditions in the Southern Florida case, this is a direct result, Steve, of my, not my discovery, but what I posted on Tuesday when those motions were filed. It disclosed that in the operation order for the Mar-a-Lago raid, the government included use of lethal force guidance in that order. So, and of course, I went on your show right away after those motions were posted, and I was one who broke the news. And this has caused chaos everywhere, including in my own life for the past week. Who would have thought that? But at any rate, this is a direct result of that reporting. Jack Smith using the legal process to refute what certainly was a game could have been a potentially.
And just drop that for a second. But to be, I don't know how many people caught that. Okay, the drama that it causes, that this is causing in her personal life. I'm not going to say much about this, but the threats, because the left, the communist left, they're out of, they cannot have these truths to be out there. She is working under some of the most horrific threats, and she won't say a word about it. She won't acknowledge it. So I would like everyone to really keep her in your prayers. I didn't mean to interrupt her, but I wanted to make sure people understood. When you go against this Leviathan, when you go against this Baphomet worshiping cabal, this is what you get. And I can attest to that. Not to the extent, obviously, that she can, or others higher profile than I can. But I'm telling you, it's bad. I'm sorry. Go ahead and pick it up.
A dangerous situation for the former president and his family. We saw Tuesday night, FBI Director Christopher Wray came out with a rare statement downplaying what I had reported and what was included in those motions. Merrick Garland addressed it the next day. So this is all spin, Steve. This has nothing to do with respectfully using the legal and court process to advance his case in the classified documents case in Southern Florida. This is a coordinated spin because it has been so damaging to this case, to the DOJ, to the FBI, Jack Smith. And so this was his asking for Judge Cannon, of course you won't, Judge Cannon to prohibit Trump from making false and inflammatory public statements about law enforcement involved in the case, not law enforcement involved in the raid, because, of course, all those names are automatically redacted in the filing. They want to prohibit, ban him from saying anything about law enforcement. And what does that mean? He can't say anything about Jack Smith. We know that Jack Smith, in his gag order, proposed gag order in Washington, asked Judge Chutkin to prohibit Donald Trump from saying mean things about Jack Smith. He's very thin-skinned, obviously. And so this was a very broad order has nothing to do with protecting law enforcement. It has to do with protecting Jack Smith and the DOJ and FBI's hide as we are learning more about this dirty, unprecedented, and potentially dangerous raid at Mar-a-Lago in August of 2022.
How did President Trump responded, right? They put in a counter. Give me the what's the takeaway from that? I think you just posted it.
Yeah. So Donald Trump's lawyers filed a motion last night, Monday night, and not only asked, obviously, for her, Judge Cannon, not to grant Jack Smith's motion, but also to hold the special counsel's team in contempt because they did not allow for meaningful conferral on a proposed motion. And this is a local rule in Florida courts. And I will tell you, Judge Cannon is such a stickler for the rules. I have watched her upbraid both the government and defense team for not properly formatting their briefs. She wants them double-spaced. She wants them in a certain count, in a certain font. So she is a real stickler for the rules, and especially the idea of each side conferring with the other before they file a motion. Well, what came out in Donald Trump's reply motion last night is that, of course, they waited until Friday night around 5:30 before a holiday weekend. Keep in mind, one of the attorneys in the Florida documents case for Donald Trump is also one of his attorneys in the Manhattan case. So as soon as Jay Bratt, who I call the degenerate little midget, who has been running the show from the very beginning, as soon as they emailed Donald Trump's team, and they came back and said, look, you know, we've got this going on right now. It's a holiday weekend. Can we discuss this on Monday? Went back and forth for a couple of hours. Jay Bratt, Jack Smith's lead prosecutor, said, no, this is too urgent. We're filing this motion anyway, and I think it hit the docket around 9 o'clock on Friday night. So this will not be taken well by Judge Cannon, not just the process that was violated,
yep,
but also the allegations, Donald Trump's, either your, you know, his postings about an assassination attempt locked and loaded, or any other media coverage about a potential assassination, that threatens the lives of law enforcement. She has already called Jack Smith out for making those vague, broad allegations in other.
The media is after Alito and Thomas to recuse themselves on immunity in the Fisher case. They're also all weekend, they're saying she's incompetent. She's got to go. I think the 11th Circuit's got to remove her. Can you give us a minute on that before you bounce?
I do. And I've got a piece up on my Substack, Declassified with Julie Kelly, that speaks specifically to why they're going after Justice Alito. Because of the 1512C2 ruling that's pending and also the immunity question that's pending, in both oral arguments, he indicated that he was going to vote against the government. So that's what this is about. And so moving forward now, I'm expecting something from Judge Cannon in the next few days, how she will respond to this. If she, this is why Jack Smith is also dumb, open a can of worms, because there is a lot of documentation, Steve, about this raid, including grand jury testimony by Secret Service agents and FBI. She ordered that sealed pending additional litigation, which is exactly what Jack Smith just opened the door for. If she holds an evidentiary hearing, if she permits the unsealing of other records related to this raid, we are going to find out more dirty details, and the people who defended this, especially on our side, former federal prosecutors, former FBI agents who said this is standard operating procedure, they are going to eat those
nonsense
words, because there's a lot more to learn about this raid.
Okay, you can cut that right now.
Julie.
Okay, now, she said a couple of things there. Remember, now, there's an old saying. If you don't have the law on your side, you pound the facts. And if you don't have the facts on your side, you pound the table. That encapsulates that garden gnome who I retired from Fauci and put it on Jay Bratt, the attorney for the litigator for Jack Smith, that demonic entity going against Donald Trump, but not going against Donald Trump, but going against the Constitution. His case is, I mean, the wheels are coming off of that bus, the documents case. Now, she also mentioned, and this is where people have to kind of connect some dots, the Alito flags. How many people know about that? Alito, Supreme Court Justice Alito, his wife flew an American flag upside down on and after January 6th. And then a second flag suddenly emerged, which is fine, of an appeal to heaven. I don't know how many people know of that flag. It's got a rich history in America. But you talk about the Confederate flag triggering the left. That flag triggers the left beyond belief. Those who know what it stands for. Which is why I ordered three for my house and studio. Okay? The flag case, trying to get Alito to recuse himself from any January 6th decisions with respect to the Fisher case. If you know what the Fisher case is all about, if not, please look into it. Because, again, the wheels of that bus, the J6 bus, will fall off with the decision of the Fisher case with respect to 1512C2 in the code. Anyway, before I continue, you know, the more I look at things and the more I hear about AI and about how things are going with respect to surveillance of citizens, the more I respect certain services, including and especially virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. Folks, if you are not protected, if your privacy is not protected right now, please do so. You've got to fight censorship and get secured. And you can do that exactly through virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. I am high on this. I mean, I am big on this. If you can imagine your cell phone company leaking your social security number, well, that's what happened to 63,000 people who had their private data exposed during a recent data breach. And you know something? It doesn't stop there. It goes way beyond that. But in this case, a rogue employee of a telecommunications company released sensitive information like names and addresses and dates of birth and social security numbers and other personal details. Look, you've got to have a hedge of protection for your private data. This is why I protect myself with today's sponsor, Virtual Shield, and I absolutely love them. Virtual Shield helps protect my private information from the prying eyes of cyber criminals, of data mining companies, tech giants, rogue ISPs, and more. It takes just two clicks to protect myself with Virtual Shield's VPN on any and all of my devices. And that includes anonymous browsing, a strict no-log policy, military-grade encryption, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited devices, and built-in ad blocking. Folks, please do this for your own protection. Even if you think you don't need it, do it anyway. I want to thank you. Thanks again to Virtual Shield for sponsoring today's show. Be sure to sign up by visiting, ready? VirtualShield.com/HagmanVPN. VPN, Hagman, VPN, two N's on Hagman. The easiest thing to do, just click the link in the description box down below, because every sign up with that link gets up to 67% off and a 60-day risk-free trial. That's virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. And again, I want to thank them for their support of this program, this broadcast. All right, let me just write this down right here. Okay, there it is right there. Hang on, I'll be right with you. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So, Jack Smith opened a can of worms on Friday. This garden gnome piece of crap, Jay Brett, pounding the lectern. Why? Because he has neither the facts nor the law behind him. Oh, and before I get to part two of this, I want to tell you this. Hang on. Let me see if I can get this. And by the way, during the hearing process in front of Cannon, you had Harbaugh, which is also on Jack, who is also on Jack Smith's team. He was pounding the lectern, and Cannon asked Harbaugh to at one point calm down during his diatribe about accusations. The Department of Justice threatened one of the defense attorneys to get his client to flip on Donald Trump. Just go to Julie Kelly's Substack, okay? But the fact that they filed a motion, this is important. Again, when you don't have the facts on your side, you pound the law, the facts, you pound the table. You also do other things, such as file motions late at night on a Friday on a holiday weekend. Oh, that backfired. You heard what Julie Kelly said about 40 minutes into Bannon's show today. There was an entry into the docket by Judge Eileen Cannon. Mm-hmm. In response to Jack Smith's plea or filing. Oh, it did not go well. Over the Memorial Day weekend, what was expected to maybe be decided later in the week, Judge Cannon she did. In my head, I can picture this cartoon of her taking this Jack Smith by the scrawny neck and just going boop, 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 boop across his face. Because that is the mental equivalent of what she did to Jack Smith. She comes back on Bannon's program about 40 minutes after and says, hey, guess what? A ruling's in. On their motion from Friday, Judge Cannon has a ruling this morning. No one expected it this soon. Well, what was the ruling? Well, let's go later in the program and let's take a look at what this ruling was all about. Because again, she's after not some political hack job, but really the facts of the case. And I should add this. There is something, and a lot of people don't know about this. Let me see if I can bring this up here. Obama, early in his tenure as president, Obama came out with a specific order with respect to national record or presidential records. He established, he wrote this memo, okay, from the White House that mandated the Department of Defense to operate and maintain information resources and information systems provided to the president, vice president, and executive office of the president, EOP. In other words, the documents, the presidential records, are already maintained by the Department of Defense. Maybe I didn't explain that well. What I'm telling you is there's always a copy or the originals being maintained by the Department of Defense. This is what Obama put into place. Is it a good thing, a bad thing? It depends on which side of the record-seeking side you're on. But Obama and Obama's team knows this, or should have known this, or knew this, but didn't care. What I'm telling you is the president, issues some sort of document. That is maintained through the Department of Defense in a program established by Obama. Now, if that document, memo, whatever it might be, is given to the outgoing president, it still exists under the control of the federal government. So what's the argument about? What is the laws that are broken by the outgoing president with respect to this document's case? There are none. But I digress. I just wanted to point that out to you. The memorandum established a framework to enable the White House and the commission to implement necessary policies and procedures for operating and maintaining the information resources and information systems provided to the president, vice president, and executive office of the president. In other words, whether it's done by them or going to them, that information is always maintained. And again, it's under the control of DOD. But again, I digress. But you'll be hearing about that. Trust me, you'll be hearing about that more later. But 40 minutes after Julie Kelly appeared, she comes and says, "Hey, Steve, guess what? There's a filing on the docket right now by Judge Arlene Cannon." So about an hour 38 into this, roughly, into Bannon's program today, she comes back. Watch and listen. Sorry, I didn't give enough time.
Mike Davis, we kicked up a little news on Friday night about this Jack Smith thing. He included an exhibit from the war room of my interview with you. Lay out our position on this, Mike, because we're not going to back down on this one inch. And Jack Smith can shove it.
Okay,
right? Tell us, walk us through.
Before we get to Julie Kelly, this is about 22:50 into the broadcast. This is Mike Davis also talking about what Julie Kelly was talking about earlier. And then we'll get to Julie Kelly later. My apologies. Here it is.
What our position is here.
So Jack Smith and his little midget henchman, Jay Bratt, filed a pleading on Friday, essentially asking for Judge Eileen Cannon to put this unconstitutional gag order on President Trump because President Trump criticized the protocol that President Biden and Attorney General Merrick Garland used to run their unprecedented raid against him in Mar-a-Lago, unlawful raid against him for presidential records President Trump is allowed to have under the Presidential Records Act. And there's no criminal component to the Presidential Records Act. If there's a dispute between the Justice Department and the librarians at the National Archives and the former president, that's handled through mediation and negotiation and at best civil litigation. It's not handled through an unprecedented, unnecessary, and unlawful raid on the office of former president. And with this FBI raid, it's very clear that Garland, that President Biden, through Jonathan Suh, his deputy White House counsel, orchestrated this raid. Garland personally signed off on it, and they all knew that this FBI raid was an armed raid with shoot-to-kill orders if necessary. So it is very reckless what they did with this unlawful raid on President Trump. And so the people who are complaining that we're complaining about that, I think that they should ask themselves, would it be acceptable if President Trump in the Trump 47 Justice Department sent an armed raid on President Biden with shoot-to-kill orders? What would their response be?
Yeah, you know, they say this is standard operating procedure, but Vivi Fry and Michael Barnes over the weekend had a great podcast. It's not. This is not close to being standard operating procedures. And Judge Cannon's going to call him out for that. I mean, he's opened a can of worms. This is going to be a debacle for Smith. This entire thing in South Florida is a joke, as is Jack Smith's all. Talk to me about the pressure on Cannon, Alito, Thomas. I mean, the left, which has revered the judiciary when it worked for them, now that you have actual conservatives with stones that will stand up to this, all they want to do is throw people off the court, throw people off the Supreme Court. They want to remove federal judges. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, isn't it amazing that the same Democrats who say that it's a threat if President Trump merely raises the fact that Judge Juan Merchan's adult daughter, Lauren Merchan, is raising millions of dollars off of her father's prosecution of President Trump, criminal trial over which he's presiding, requiring Judge Merchan's recusal under New York statute. Somehow that's a threat. If we point out that any of these prosecutors or any of these law enforcement agents are not doing their job properly, they may have a political bias, whatever the issue is, if Trump or his allies raise this, that's somehow a violent threat. But the Democrats, Joe Biden, his Justice Department, his White House press secretary, who say that these are somehow protected by the First Amendment, they can run these illegal obstruction of justice campaigns outside of the homes of Supreme Court justices while a case is pending, while the Dobbs case is pending. That forces these justices and their families to go to safe houses. They encouraged these illegal obstruction of justice campaigns against the Supreme Court justices from the Biden White House press secretary and the Biden Justice Department, Merrick Garland, even after the 1 a.m. assassination attempt against Justice Kavanaugh, his wife Ashley, and their two teenage daughters. These same Democrats have been harassing and doxing and trashing Judge Eileen Cannon constantly for her decisions and threatening her and threatening to get a mandamus order from the 11th Circuit, from the Trump deranged 11th Circuit. I mean, it's just unbelievable that if you have legitimate criticisms about a political bias, including ethical issues, including recusal issues on the Democrat side, it's a threat by the Republicans. But if you actually run illegal doxing, obstruction of justice campaigns outside of the Supreme Court justices' homes or threaten judges, that's not a threat, according to these Democrats.
Okay, you can cut that. And folks, I would urge you to watch the entire video, but I'm trying to give you the nuggets, the important parts of this. And you know, that raid really crossed the Rubicon of the communist left. I wouldn't call them Democrats, or even on the right, the Republicans. Those who supported certain aspects of the raid, or those, as Julie Kelly said, or perhaps will say, I'm not sure, about, well, this is SOP with respect to the way the raid went down. What a bunch of hooey. What a bunch of crap that is. The bottom line, the raid was approved by Merrick Garland. He did at first denied it, and then he, of course, said, oh, yeah, I approved it. When forced to. The White House publicly denied having any involvement whatsoever. But that's not how things are done in inside the Beltway. And it's not possible. It never was possible. So there's no way that the White House counsel wasn't fully engaged before the raid. And I'm referencing the raid now as kind of a separate but integrated part of this case. The fact that the White House authorized the rescission of executive privilege so that the presidential documents protected by this longstanding privilege I just referenced could be grabbed by the FBI, there's something more going on here, is what I'm saying. So what were they looking for? As I mentioned in previous shows, broadcasts, they were looking for some very specific information. And I don't believe they found it. And the information that they were looking for were the damning documents of the spying on Donald Trump as a private citizen campaigning for the presidency. as a sitting president and even thereafter. Donald Trump had what is commonly referenced as a white binder or a binder, and I believe he still has that. And the question also, as I've talked about this before, well, if he's got it, why doesn't he just publish what's in it? Because my answer to that is it's kind of like a nuclear weapon. Once you use it, the effect, I mean, it's done. It's over. But if you have it, you have a better chance of negotiating, manipulating, and being able to use that as a potential weapon. And why do you think the FBI and the Department of Justice was so intent on the raid at Mar-a-Lago? Why do you think, if you listen to some of the broadcasts and watch some of the broadcasts, why do you think they spent so much time in Melania's room? Was it for her underwear? No. They were looking for binders, which, by the way, in her room, there were binders on a bookshelf. I don't want to get too deep into this, but this is all part of this larger, again, from a 30,000-foot view. Every one of these data points, they connect to the communist takeover of the United States, or the attempted communist takeover of the United States, which I go back and say, okay, so if we have a decision to make in November and you are so anti-Trump, because, well, he did this or he did that, or, you know, he said something, or he's a crass individual, then who in the hell are you going to vote for? Last I knew, Jesus Christ was not on the ballot. But I don't want to get off point here. This next video clip is what I referenced earlier. Same show, but again, about 40 minutes plus later, Julie Kelly comes back and says, oh, wait, there's a filing in by Justice Eileen Cannon. And this is where Judge Eileen Cannon, following the Constitution, following the rules of criminal and civil procedure in the courtrooms of the U.S., rendered this filing, as explained by Julie Kelly. This starts at about whatever I said, one something. Again, it's in the program notes at HagmanPI.com, but take a listen to this. This kind of came in, and she's giving a real-time assessment of this filing. Here it is.
To our conversation this morning, as expected, Judge Cannon just issued her order denying Special Counsel Jack Smith's request for a gag order on President Trump, prohibiting him from making public statements about law enforcement agents involved in this case. She denied without prejudice for lack of meaningful conferral, as we talked about this morning. They sprang this on the defense. Jack Smith's team sprang this on the defense and the court late Friday night before the holiday weekend, violating local rules that require meaningful conferral between the two parties before a motion is filed. She also said that it was wholly lacking in substance and professional courtesy, as well as implicating substantive and or constitutional questions. Furthermore, she demanded that in the future that Jack Smith adhere to the local rules about conferring back and forth, going back and forth with the defense before they file something. Failure to comply with these requirements may result in sanctions. That is Judge Eileen Cannon's latest smackdown of Special Counsel Jack Smith.
Julie, you've been dead spot on all of this. Where do people give us the social media so people can follow you moment by moment in your Substack?
Substack is Declassified with Julie Kelly. I'm at Twitter, @Julie_Kelly2, and Real Clear Investigations. I will be writing about all of this, but I expect more from Judge Cannon this week, as she still has several motions pending before her. God bless her.
Massive fight down in Florida.
I
God bless her. Julie, and God bless you.
Her Substack, okay, Declassified by Julie Kelly. I left that up, or left that play, because I think people need to really go there to understand the magnitude of what is happening right now. The wheels that, you know, of the bus that go round and round, Well, the wheels of that bus, Jack Smith bus, they're flying off. And the left, the communist left, they're not happy. So from a domestic point of view, and you have to look at this, because if you are one of the believers, and I sincerely believe this, where you would believe, or you would, in retrospect, thinking that, okay, Hillary Clinton was expected to take the presidency subsequent to Obama's tenure. And I've often heard people talk about, you know, the 16-year plan, 8 of Obama, 8 of Hillary. All right. And what happened was very unexpected to the left. President Trump became president. That interrupted this full communist takeover of the U.S. Now, if you believe that, as I do believe that there was this plan and they did not cheat enough in 2016 because they had no idea what they were dealing with, then you've really got to look at this progression of events as a means to an end, and that end is the end of our constitutional republic that President Trump stopped. And again, I know I'm going to get comments saying, well, President Trump is not, you know, is not the be-all and end-all. Of course not. Of course not. But it is interrupting the agenda of the globalist, this cabal, this, as Bongino says, this blob, this deep state, whatever you want to call it, this push toward this global communism. And, you know, as Christians, we are mandated, I believe, biblically, to fight with any way we can against the evil and the implementation of this global government that will usher in the Antichrist. I believe this is all biblical, and I believe that we were born for this time. You were born for this time. I was born for this time, and we have to fight like never before. And I believe that Donald Trump is for all of his faults and for all of his missteps, is most assuredly the better choice that we are being given in this hinge moment of history. Now, there's one last thing, and I've got so much more, but when you look at this from a 30,000-foot level, I came across this interview, and this is an interview by Corey Gautier. He's a resident, San Diego border resident. And this is from California Insider. And this was aired like a month ago, but it has more relevance today than ever does before. Now, what I want to do is I want to play the start, which is kind of like an excerpt from the actual video. And again, folks, I urge you to watch the entire video. It'll be at HagmanPI.com, the link to this. But listen to the kind of the intro, and then we're going to skip Eric the Tech to, let me see here, about the 18, about the 1840 mark. So let's play right up to the rolling introduction, which is probably a minute or so, and then we'll go to the 18. We'll pause and we'll go to the 1840 mark, because this is extremely critical, and this is all part. Lawfare is the primary quiver or arrow in the quiver that they have to not just stop Donald Trump, but to tank our constitutional republic. What's the other? It is the invasion of the U.S. because this summer, and I can see this coming, and you can watch various videos. We've played them, and they're out there. Others are out there, where there will be unprecedented attacks on American soil destined to take out our portions of our grid, portions of our infrastructure, and to kill, and I mean this, to kill conservative Christian leaders, whether they're in government or elsewhere. In the remaining few moments, I'm going to end with this, but this is about the erosion, the intentional erosion of the southern border. And when you watch this, keep in mind of Obama, his placement, remember this now, his back in the teens, his purchase and placement of ammunition, stockpiles of ammunition for various departments that were not used, that are not normally used in training. There's prepositioned weaponry, prepositioned ammunition in this country, looking only for a user. Think about that as you watch this. Go ahead.
Corey, you live on the border. What do you see? What's happening?
I constantly see these white buses coming down, and the buses are full of illegal immigrants that are coming here claiming asylum, not through the port of entry. They're coming through the fence, cutting the fence, around the fence, over the fence. So I went out there one day, and there was like 200 people standing there, and they had tents, there were fires going. I was blown away.
Did you talk to these people?
I have found documents giving them exact instructions. So that's where things kind of turned for me on. This is a very regimented, professional operation. Who's doing it?
My guest today is Corey Gautreaux.
Right, you can pause.
He's a resident.
He said, this is not right. This is planned. This is organized. This is being done with amazing efficiency. And you know about this. It takes time. It takes a lot of time to organize, in most cases, to organize an efficient support structure and an efficient plan to get people from Europe and Africa and other locations, these other countries, South and Central America, into the U.S. in the numbers that we're seeing because of the time. Let's go to the 34-minute mark on this. And again, you can find links to this video only at HagmanPI.com. Click on the link of the title and then open it up. And below, you'll see links to the assets used in this episode or citations or whatever. But watch the entire thing. Go to the 34-minute mark. And just, he talks about the plan, but a lot of stuff good before that, but the plan. Go ahead, 34.
We've seen some horrible things out there. This is probably the worst. And well, let me back up, because this takes massive coordination between the North and the South. Now, who is the North and who is the South?
The side of the border, right? Correct. Some people, they have a plan. They bring the people. They cut the fence. Yep. They bring them in. And then the nonprofits are coming, picking them up.
So that's the interesting part. So if you or I were to pick someone up right now and drive them down the hill, it's human trafficking. But for some reason, our government and the nonprofit organizations can do that under some veil of secrecy, because they're trying to be very secret about what they're doing, especially the locations they're bringing these people. So when I started seeing it shifted from a lot of Chinese men, Turkish men, to then I started seeing families, what I thought were families. You know, I went about this in my mind that these people were trying to come here for a better life. And I give everybody the benefit of the doubt until I shouldn't. Then I started seeing more and more kids. So then I'm looking into it just with my own eyes, looking at it. I'm like, that kid doesn't look like the mom or dad, which can happen. Then you look at him again, and the mother and father are both very dark skin, and the kid is my complexion. That's interesting. Maybe that could happen. But then you start seeing more, and then the opposite. And so then I started doing some research. In, I think it was May 2021, the administration stopped doing DNA tests on these children. And when I say that to people, people get, why would we do DNA tests on these kids? Why would we spend money on that?
Because child trafficking is a big deal, and we were very serious about it.
We were.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. So those DNA tests would show the kids and whoever the adult was that were with them at the time, if they were related. Now, I don't know if it said, yes, that's the father or the mother, but it would show some sort of relation. What these DNA tests showed at the time was 30% of these children were not related to the people that they were with.
Wow.
And then we stopped that program. So I read this, so then I started looking closer. If it was 30% when we were monitoring it, what is it now? We have no idea. So then some friends, I went with, followed one of these buses down to the Ramada Inn in Mission Valley.
Where the hotels that they're staying, right?
Oh, yeah. That is making a killing off of this crisis. They're making a ton of money because they rent that thing out to them every day or monthly. So unaccompanied minors are supposed to go to this facility. There's a couple other facilities. When we went there and looked at it, there's males in the same room with children. And you could literally drive there and just go look. You don't even have to go in. You can see through the window. What is going on here? Is our government, it just sounds insane to say this out loud, right? Is our government facilitating human trafficking at this point? So then I talked to some of the bus drivers, and it's everything that you see with your own eyes. If you ask questions about it, it's very secretive. Nobody wants to tell you anything.
What about the Border Patrol agents that you're talking to at your store? What do they think about this?
I spoke with one of the brass, and it was when I was going out there, and I just wanted to give him a heads up on something. And he said verbatim, "We love what you're doing. I bet 98% of us agree with what you're doing. Keep doing it." Meaning, I'm just showing what's going on. I'm not sensationalizing anything. I'm not, this isn't a political issue for me. This is something's not right. What are we doing? So according to him, 98% of them agree with what I'm showing and what I'm saying. And I could tell you that just from the people in the store. But if I just go off the people in the store who probably have the same values as me because they're buying firearms from me, what about the other people that aren't gun people? So I've always wondered that until I talked to him and he kind of explained what they're thinking as well. And I get it. It's frustrating to say they're just following orders, because there were a lot of times in history where people just followed orders and it didn't go well. But these people do have families and mortgages, and they live in California. It's very difficult to live here. So I see both sides of it, especially being in the military. I can see that they are just following orders. Some of them, most of the ones I'm friends with, have explained that they can still go do their job and stop people at the fence, but once they get here, they can't do anything.
Okay, cut that. All right. The reason, again, I played this, there are different components to what he said. Obviously, following orders, that's a BS excuse. Not a good excuse. It won't hold up when these people are held accountable. But prior to that, about the DNA testing, all right, I flashed through my mind that old movie, Me, Myself, and Irene, I think it was, with Jim Carrey having a philandering wife and two black children, if you get my drift. But anyway, remember that the children are the currency of the globalists. Remember, please understand, the role of the children, the minors that are being exploited at the hands of the U.S. government, at the hands of the Obamas and the Bidens. I don't have enough time, but prior to that, the passports, the credit cards, the findings of the papers at the border, on the other side of the border, and even on this side of the border, reflect the severity of the invasion. So, in addition to taking out Trump, in addition to taking down all of the constitutional patriots, the invasion and the extermination that we, you and I, and our grandkids and children are facing is enormous. This week is going to be a pivotal week, a hinge week in history. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that made sense. May God bless each and every one of you.